Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network on this Tuesday, November the 5th, 2024, as we said last hour. Finally, Election Day is here. And so we're talking about that today. Obviously, what's happening around the country with voting. Fred Jackson, Steve Paisley, Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
And Ray Pritchard, raised in Kansas City. And we're in Tupelo. And tell us, Steve, what you've been reading the news this morning.
I've been just kind of keeping track of things. Can I give you the first election results we have of the day? Not a result like a decision like everything, but some updates on voting totals. With 50% of the vote counted, Guam has Harris ahead by 3 points. Harris 49, Trump 46. Now, before all you fatalists and pessimists go out there and start wailing and weeping and thinking the whole thing is over, in 2020, Biden took Guam by 14 points. Mm-hmm. And Harris is up by 3. So I think a lot of what's going to be watching tonight, because, you know, we were just talking off the air about maybe New York. New York is not going to go for Trump. But what is going to be interesting is to see the margins, how far Donald Trump may have cut into blue states. So we're seeing a lot of that. I can also report, of course, of Dixville Notch in
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, they voted 3-3, 3 for Harris, 3 for Trump, the 6 residents there. Last year, Biden swept. So, again, Republicans do real well in Dixie Notch. And a couple things, this also today, they were having some problems with the voting machines in Cambria County in Pennsylvania. They had to switch to paper ballots.
Where is that? Do you know?
Cambria. It's a Republican county. I don't know where geographically it is, but it's a Republican county, and they had software malfunction in the county's electronic voting system. It's preventing voters from scanning their ballots. So Cambria County Solicitor Ron Rapak said in a statement, the board has filed a court order extending the time to vote within Cambria County. No one should be turned away from the polls if they wish to cast their votes, and they're going to paper ballots, and at least until they get the software glitch, if they are going to get it fixed.
There was also a bit of an incident this morning at four precincts in Philadelphia. They wouldn't let the Trump observers in, Republican observers in. And so what the Republicans have done this time is have a team of lawyers ready. So the team of lawyers went in, and these precincts had to allow Republican observers into the polling stations.
Mm-hmm. According to the head of the RNC, who put these things out, it's 8 mm-hmm. counties in Pennsylvania, where 8 voting precincts where Republican poll workers were not going to be let in until the lawyers showed up, and it's all been resolved.
Yeah.
And most of those were in and around Philadelphia?
The counties
where the Republican poll watchers were denied entry.
Is Philadelphia, York, Westmoreland, Allegheny, Lehigh, Cambria. Again, that's a Republican. Wyoming County and Lackawanna County.
That was a bizarre story. You all told me about that this morning because I'm thinking, you know, how blatant can you be?
Yes.
Huh?
To keep one party's observers out.
Yeah, but that was resolved, but it shouldn't have had to have lawyers intervene.
Nope, shouldn't.
In the situation.
But it just raises the suspicions amongst some people that there's hanky-panky going on.
Right.
I get the impression, just from listening and seeing things like this, that the Republicans are way more prepared this election go-around than they were in 2020.
True.
And listen, when you have a country of 330 or whatever it is, million people, you're going to have some machines break down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's just going to happen.
Yep.
Because the computer systems are just not perfect. But it's when what you don't want to see is machines breaking down in that favor one party or another all the time. You know what I'm saying? Or yeah. something of that nature.
What people don't want to see is some of the things that we saw in 2020.
Right.
When observers were told to go home.
Like in Atlanta.
And then the video cameras picked up when the observers left. These people start hauling out boxes.
Yeah.
People don't want to see that.
Right. Right. Ray, any thoughts on that?
Well, 4 years ago, the Democrats swamped the Republicans in the early voting department. And let's face it, 4 years ago, they played the political game on the ground better than the Republicans did. But the Republicans have, I think, caught up. And they've got poll watchers and lawyers in places like Chicago and Detroit and Philadelphia and Milwaukee, Atlanta for sure, Maricopa County out there in Arizona, Clark County out there in Nevada. If there's any hanky-panky going on out there, the Republicans are going to be all over it this time around, which is good for democracy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, and so we'll see how it goes. The other thing is, you remember we were dealing with COVID 4 years ago.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what happened in Pennsylvania was all those folks voted absentee because of COVID, and they were almost all Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And so Republicans won the day of, that is Election Day. Trump won handily on Election Day with 700,000 votes, I think, ahead. And then the counting began of the absentee ballots in Pennsylvania, and Biden ended up winning. I forgot what the final differential was,
mm-hmm.
but that created a lot of suspicion among Republicans that that the Democrats found out how many votes they needed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is I'm just telling you, this sounds very conspiratorial, but this is how people think. They think, well, and Trump did too. He expressed it. I'm like, wait a minute, 700,000 ahead, and now I wake up the next day and you're telling me these votes that were counted in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
End up going all Democrat, mm-hmm. all for Biden.
Mm.
You see how that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there, but I'm just saying that those kinds of things create suspicion among people that that the voting process may have been cooked, so to speak.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know. I have no evidence that it was. Mm-hmm. There's a few incidences here and there that you could show, but I'm talking about on a big level that was – and. You know, you knew that the Democrats were going to have a big percentage of that vote because Republicans were turning out on voting day,
mm-hmm.
and the Democrats were scaredy cats of COVID.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they voted early. I'm teasing about that, but I mean, that's how a lot of people thought it went down.
Yep.
So, all right, next story.
All right. So the Harris campaign has been quite conflicted on how to deal with Israel. In fact, you may recall, I don't know if we mentioned it on TI, but they were running two different commercials, ads, political ads in Michigan as opposed to Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, a very pro-Jewish ad. You know, we support Israel's right to defend itself from terrorist Hamas. In Michigan, it was we sympathize with the Palestinian people, and so it was just two different messages depending on where the ad played. Well, former President Bill Clinton was on the campaign trail at a Harris Walz events this last week, and he was standing behind a Harris Walz sign. He has to be driving the campaign a little crazy because if they want somebody to be a little ambivalent about Israel, Bill Clinton was not. I want you to hear what he had to say, Cut 11.
All this was offered, including, I will say it again, a capital in East Jerusalem and two of the four quadrants of the old city of Jerusalem, confirmed by the Israeli Prime Minister, Ehud Barak, and his cabinet. And they said no. And I think part of it is that Hamas did not care about a homeland for the Palestinians. They wanted to kill Israelis and make Israel uninhabitable. Well, I got news for them. They were there first. Before there was their faith existed, they were there. In the time of King David, in the southernmost tribes, had Judea and Samaria.
Bill Clinton's absolutely right on that, isn't he, friend?
Absolutely right. Bill Clinton has read a little bit of his Bible.
Sunday school teacher.
Yeah, I tell you what. What he was referring to was that when Yasser Arafat headed the Palestinians, he was offered a great deal, basically, you know, giving them what they want. Gave them 90% of what they wanted. And as Bill Clinton said, Ehud Barak, the prime minister at the time, was in agreement with the deal. And the deal was that the Palestinians would get the East Jerusalem as their capital, and they would also have access to four quadrants of the old city. And they turned it down. And Bill Clinton, you just heard him say, you know, they had a great deal, but they didn't want that. And he says because Hamas did not want it, because Hamas wants to destroy the Israeli people. And then you just heard Bill Clinton say, and we have to remind people that Israel and the Jewish people were there first before the Palestinians.
He referenced King David.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That he was throwing down some good history, guys, and some good theology. Who knew? Who knew? Bill Clinton was remembering the Sunday school lessons he took years ago.
I think he's kind of proud of the fact that he was involved in that. I think that's probably why he said it. I mean,
yeah, just to be clear and remind people, is that most people know what he's talking about there, but during the Clinton presidency, he tried to negotiate a peace deal between Yasser Arafat, the PLO leader, and Palestinian Liberation Organization, mm-hmm. and then the then Prime Minister of Israel,
Ehud Barak,
who preceded Benjamin Netanyahu, or maybe there was somebody in between. I'm not sure. But anyway, and so what Bill Clinton came to the realization was that the Palestinian leaders were not interested in peace because he offered them, along with Israel's leader, a two-state solution that they say they want. Some of them say they won't, where Israel would be divided into something called, I guess, Palestine and something called Israel, and even Jerusalem would be divided. I quite frankly, now looking back, I'm stunned that Israeli leadership would even consider doing that. But they did at the time. This would have been in the 90s. And when offered that deal, what he's saying is the Palestinian leadership did not want that, which signified to Bill Clinton they don't want any kind of deal short of all the Jews being dead.
Yeah.
Or driven into the sea and no existence of an Israeli Jewish state. Precisely what he's saying right there.
That's right, that the Palestinians did not have any historic claim on there.
Right.
And that's why he said, no, the Jewish people were there first.
Right.
Yeah, that land was given to the Jewish people. You have to remember Islam, Muhammad, was many hundreds of years later that that religion came into being.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. Kamala Harris, I've said on this program, and I don't mean to be – I'm not joking when I say this, that there's not a lot of she's been really skimping on policy specifics on a lot of stuff because I don't think she knows a whole lot about being president. I'm not trying to be rude. I just think that her lack of response signals maybe a lack of depth. And I want to give you an example. This is over the summer. Kamala Harris was on with a social media influencer on a podcast. His name is Kareem Rama. He does Subway Takes, which has about 1 million listeners. And he invited Kamala Harris to come on. And they take one issue. It's a shorter podcast, and they debate it, and he wants opposing views. And so he asked Kamala Harris to come on and talk about the war in Gaza. He's an Arab, and he wants to know about it, you know, Kamala's support for Israel. Talk to me about your support for Israel. The Harris administration said, no, we don't want to talk about that. We're going to talk about something else. Now, this show will take any topic. It doesn't, you know, like pineapple on pizza might be one of the topics. So Kamala Harris came on and said that she would offer a hot take against people taking off their shoes on airplanes. He said, well, okay, fine. If that's the only thing we can get.
Are you saying Kamala Harris offered to talk about people taking off their shoes on airplanes?
The campaign agreed that Harris would offer a hot take against people taking off their shoes on airplanes. But, Ray, listen to this. She gets there, and she changes the subject again. And this is the subject that she chose with this Arab Muslim podcast host. Bacon is a spice.
No.
Think about it. It's pure flavor, she said. To which the
this sounds like a Babylon Bee kind of story.
It does. To which the podcast host said, "Well, no, I have to disagree." And she was finally, and she kept going on and on about bacon. She was finally reminded that Muslims don't eat bacon. Oh, okay. So then she decided to go anchovies on pizza, which he again didn't like. The interview was such a disaster that the guy scrapped it, left it on the cutting room floor, didn't even air it.
She moved. Are you saying she moved from bacon as a spice to anchovies on pizza?
That's right.
That's hot reason takes for her to be defeated right there, friend. Right there. Drawing the line.
Right.
Drawing the line right there.
Oh, my.
That's, anyway.
Yeah.
If she wins today, it'll be I'll be stunned, be honest with you. I'll be stunned if she wins. I think it'll be close, but I think enough Americans are looking at the two of them and saying, who do I want to be the leader of the CEO of America for 4 years? And I think enough of them are going to break his way, having had 4 years of a record to look at and is a known commodity, that is Trump. Versus somebody who is wasn't even wanted by the Democrats.
That's right.
She didn't even survive the first primary for the Democrats. I mean, she was like 8 out of 8. Remember that, or something like that. So She had to drop out before the first primary. So she's only in there as because they kicked Biden out, because we saw what happened at the debate and they knew he couldn't beat Trump. So they didn't have really a process to go through. Mm-hmm. They just got, well, she was a VP. She'd be the natural choice, but still others may have been better candidates for the Democrats.
Remember what the only reason that she was the vice president, though?
What?
Is because Biden decided
he needed
a DEI hire. He decided he was going to be a black woman no matter what.
Right, right. That's true. So but anyway, she is, I think, today is a referendum, more or less, on whether you want Trump or not. You know, a lot of Americans don't want Trump anymore. I mean, that's just how they feel about it. And will enough of them be able to overcome those who think, like I was just suggesting, that is, that he is a proven commodity as a leader of the country, and they're going to go with that over the unknown of Kamala Harris, who says some dingbat things.
This is anecdotal, and so I don't know how this is going to result in the polls, but this is one thing I do know, that it has become a lot more socially acceptable to back Donald Trump. I remember reporting in 2016 about some kid on a college campus who was wearing a Make America Great Again hat. Some student stole the hat and went to student services and wanted him kicked out of college. Now we've got people passing out MAGA hats on college campuses. You got Elon Musk, a tech giant who was a lifelong liberal, is now backing him. Joe Rogan, who was a liberal, is now backing Donald Trump. So it's become a lot more socially acceptable. He's not a pariah anymore. He's kind of the counterculture choice. And
well, I do think the fact that people are taking a look at Kamala Harris, and in addition to being an unknown unknown commodity in terms of her leadership ability, especially on a international scale, like being the leader of the free world, they see her and they go, you know, I don't agree with her, but these crazy left-wing policies she's embraced. And she liked to talk about so proudly before she ran for president. Like that ad Trump's running where it's got Kamala Harris saying, yes, I want the taxpayer to pay for transgender surgeries for illegal immigrants who are in prison.
Yep.
What kind of person says that's a good idea for the federal government to pay for that?
Yeah.
Kamala Harris does. Remember, she said everybody should have access to money to mm-hmm. have transgendered surgeries.
Yeah.
She's kind of been a little, I don't know if she's changed her position on that, but she refused to acknowledge or reinsert that. She was talking to a transgender crowd. I have a feeling like the two Israel ads, whoever she's in front of, she's going to say whatever they want to hear.
Right, right. Right. Next story. You got another story?
Yeah. Let's lighten up things a little bit
here.
Let's do that. We keep talking about, you were talking about Kamala and the word salad and everything. Do you have a birthday coming up or know somebody that has a birthday coming up, need a present?
Well, I think we all do.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But if you need a present, I've got something for you.
Okay.
It's a new Alexa, and I want to let you hear it. This is the ad for it. This is Cut 13.
Do you like your Amazon Echo, but wish its answers were more confusing? Introducing Amazon Echo, Alexa Edition. This great new device will just give you a long, rambling answer to anything you ask.
Alexa, what's the weather like today?
Weather is big. Weather is exciting. And did you know that files are stored in the cloud? Your files, they're all up there, up in the cloud. In the cloud. So, the climate is changing, and that's bad.
Oh, hey, Alexa, what time is it?
The significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. When you think about it, there is a great significance to the passage of time.
Thanks, Alexa.
Alexa has got you covered.
That's clever.
Oh.
Was there one?
Yeah, there's one more, but that's okay.
In that clip, you mean?
Yeah. They asked her, Alexa, how many illegal aliens did you let through the border? And then the answer is,
oh, a cackle, yeah. A classic cackle.
Yes.
All right. Fred, tell us about what's going to be going on this evening here on American Family Radio.
At 6:05 Central Time this evening, the gang will be here. Tim and Ed and Wesley Walker, myself will be here. Chris and Steve will be taking care of our newscast through the evening, but we'll be here because the polls will have closed for about an hour in a couple of states, Kentucky and Indiana, in portions of that state, those two states. And then there's a whole lot of other states along the East Coast where polls will be closing. So the results will start coming in. And let's face it, folks, we've been talking for months about this election campaign, about where the candidates stand on the issue. Well, today, And tonight we get the verdict from the voters of America. And I tell you what, tremendous interest in this election. A lot of people have been saying, Tim and gang, that this is one of the most pivotal elections in American history. We have two parties that have very different views as to where the country should be going. And tonight the voters pass their verdict. We'll be here to tell you the story.
Yeah. All right, Ray, thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks to Fred, Steve, Chris, Brent Creeley, our producer. See, Jenna was with us. Frank Turek was with us today. We thank them for making being guests here on the program. And keep listening to AFR, and we'll see you later on this evening.
Amen.